Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
12 minutes after 8 here on The Fan in New York City, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. Hopefully everybody's having a pleasant Lugie evening. It is after hours here on The Fan, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. A few names that are being sort of bantered about on social media, the rumors, and this is a weekend for rumor mills, and you're going to hear a lot of names being thrown out there as potential players that could be traded. And two names that I just stumbled across for the Yankees, and one of them I got to just go after right away, and that is Jorge Soler, who strikes out way too much, hits for a low average, ton of power. Does this sound familiar? Basically every player on the Yankees. That would be an awful move by Brian Cashman. I will first guess that one. Soler would make no sense for the Yankees. Too many swings and misses, all or nothing type of hitter, low average, just above 200. I think he's batting like 206. That is not the right fit for this team. The Yankees need an outfielder, but I would not bring in, and they need bats, but Soler does not fit what the Yankees should be bringing in because he is just, and I said this last year about Suarez, and Eugenio Suarez was having a monster season last year, but I said, look, he hits too much home runs, or he hits too many home runs. He is subpar defensively, and he strikes out way too much. And Suarez ended up being a total stiff with the Mariners when they traded for him last year. So the Yankees dodged a bullet there, but a lot of people were, oh, you got to bring in Suarez. It's like, mm-mm. The Yankees already have too many all or nothing guys. And the Yankees this year have too many guys that strike out way too much. And the last thing you want to do is bring in a high strikeout guy like Soler. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Josh joins us from the Bronx. What's going on, Josh?
Good Lugie evening to you, sir.
Well, hopefully you're having a pleasant Lugie evening there, Joshua.
Yes, I am.
Lugie evening.
You are fantastic. Anyway, getting to my point quickly, Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner should spend, and forget about the luxury tax and how much of a limit they should put on it. Go out and get those players that you've been mentioning. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Well, you're welcome. Josh always has somewhere to be, which I appreciate. I like a man that has somewhere to be. He reminds
me. It is showtime, baby!
You gotta always be on the move. Josh just gets in and gets out. I like that. Hello, goodbye, here's my point, and away we go. You're a good fellow there, Josh.
It's showtime, baby!
Diaper dandy. Josh is the best. Josh, I hear you. Look, Brian Cashman obviously has to put the big boy pants on, and he's got to make a bunch of moves here because this team is... I shouldn't say team. I shouldn't say word team. This offense is no good. Jason Dominguez, more... hype than substance. Volpe, no good. Wells, no good. Caballero, no good. Trent Grisham, beyond no good. Grisham should either be traded, cut, released, sent packing. Trent Grisham has been awful this year. That contract, everything about it, the amount of money you're paying him. And that was the first guess. I mean, Trent Grisham, when he took the qualifying offer, you just knew he wasn't going to match the season he had last year. That was obviously a career year, and Grisham is nowhere near that, and he is just completely lost at the plate right now. Let's head out to Belmore. Bobby joins us here on After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer on the Fan. What's going on, Bobby?
Hi, Tommy. I'll be real quick. Two quick things before Grisham. Where was bench coach? Doesn't he do something on this team, or Boone? Just bring him in to bring him closer to the infield. I didn't understand that.
Yeah, you're talking about last night. Yeah, when the ball dropped in front of him and the game ended. Where is he playing out there? I could not believe he was that far deep in center.
The bench coach should be. I don't know what these guys do in the dugout, but at least do that. And number two, they had Hill and Hershon. Why didn't they pitch to the Japanese hitter and take out Blackburn, a lefty against lefty? Why didn't they? Unless they were unavailable, I don't understand that at all. I want to get to Judge.
Look, the bullpen is just taxed right now, Bobby. They're in a situation where they're just overworked. And you saw that even last night with Duvall, and they had to go to Duvall and you had Yarbrough. So, I mean, the bullpen needs a rest badly.
Okay, let me get the judge. Now, I want to get your – I'm no doctor, obviously neither are you. But judge in 2019, I was reading about partially collapsed lung, fractured the first rib on the right side. Now, I'm wondering if this is why it's taken him so long to recover. I don't know which rib he fractured, you know, but maybe that – you know, and the Yankees are keeping his quiet. It's like a big secret. I was wondering if that's related to why the recovery has been so long. He missed 54 games back in 2019, which is about, what, close to 2 months.
Yep.
But this is – I know he – and that was a partially collapsed lung as well. So I don't understand why is this taking longer than that.
Well, I just Bobby, I don't know. I don't know all about what you were just saying there per se, but the deal with Judge is he's got to get cleared as far as baseball activities in terms of his upper body. And until he is cleared for that, he's not going to be on the road to returning. And that's the issue there. Once that happens, then I think it'll take about a month to ramp Judge back, and you will see him in the big leagues again. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We've been trying to figure out a name for a three-hour after hours because we already have a name for the five-hour after hours, which is a Big Lugowski. We've been trying to figure that out all night, and Doug in Sayville has a suggestion for that. What do you got there, Doug?
Hey, Tommy, what's up? I'm a huge fan.
Thank
and first-time caller.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
For taking the call, man.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think of calling it a Jiffy Lugue?
A Jiffy Lugue. It made me laugh. So that you're already ahead of the game. You made me laugh. A Jiffy Lugue. Okay. All right. Yeah, we've already gotten we gotten Jiffy Lugue. Let me read the other ones again off of the internet here. Somebody else suggested Jiffy Lugue. Okay, so people are sharing a brain there. We had some for a limited Lugie. It's okay. We had one for Schmedium Lugowski. Don't hate it. Don't hate it. And then let me just reiterate this because I could see it being a suggestion over and over again. A few fellas here wanted to call it either Lugauer Island or Lugilligan's Island. And I think with everything going on in the news these days when it comes to an island, and a name in front of, a last name in front of that island, I don't really necessarily want my last name associated with an island. And the company probably wouldn't want that either. So let's try to shy away from a last name followed by an island. We could just, I get Gilligan's Island, but I think Gilligan's Island obviously was a long time ago. If we're thinking more recently when it comes to last name island, I don't think people are going to think of Gilligan. So we don't necessarily need that association here on or any show, quite frankly. So let's just try to shy away from that if we can. But all other suggestions and all other ideas are definitely welcomed here on After Hours. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Joey Clams joins us from Brooklyn here. What's going on, Joey?
Tommy Stugatz, a.k.a. Tommy the Actor. How are you?
Thank you.
Man?
What's
Thank
happening?
You. This coaching staff, you hit it on the head last night and you hit it on the head today. For 9 years, it's been the same thing. It's a pig house, that coaching staff. Nobody corrects anybody. Nobody teaches fundamentals. Nobody coaches on how to run the bases. I don't know who the coaches are in that dugout.
Why do you think that is, though,
Joey? Jimmy Leyritz said it.
Yeah, why do you think that is, though? I mean, it feels like it just, you're right, over the years, it's just the fundamentals are lacking.
I'm going to tell you what it is.
Yeah, what is it?
Once they got rid of Girardi, that was the last of the Mohegans from George Steinbrenner. And that's when Cashman put his meat hooks into it, and he was doing his own thing. He even got rid of Reggie when Reggie says, you got to go sign Bruce Harper. And Cashman
Harper.
Said,
yeah.
No, we're not going to sign any lefties. Because of the shift, lefties were going to be dinosaurs. He went with an all-righty team when they struck out 16, 17, 15 times.
Yeah. He also didn't think Bryce Harper would be a first baseman, and now obviously that has changed as well. No, listen, the Bryce Harper not going after Harper was a major mistake for the Yankees.
And listen, and Judge, too, he's the captain. Does he correct anybody? Does he straighten anybody out? Torres got away with murder. Chisholm gets away with murder. Bring up the kid to play shortstop.
Lombard.
You got a platoon system at shortstop? You got a three-man platoon system at third base? That's not championship baseball. Bring that kid up. Stop the piece. He's a defensive shortstop. Major league ready. You need a shortstop. To win a championship, you got to be strong up the middle. They're not strong up the middle. Their 5-6 hole is weak. Triple-decker hour. with Tommy the Actor, a.k.a. Crazy Tommy. How you doing?
It's Crazy Tommy. I like that. I do like that. But crazy in a good way. How old are you? Old enough to party? A triple-decker with Tommy the Actor.
See, Tommy Thirstrax.
I don't want to go with Tommy the Actor. Obviously, Eric the Actor, Howard Stern. So I don't want to go with that. But then you know there are many Tommies. You know, you never quite know what Tommy you're going to get.
Tommy Thirstrax.
The bread and butter Tommy, of course, is Positive Tommy. That's the one that most know me. Like when I'm walking the streets know me as Positive Tommy. But there's also
Tommy Thirstrax.
And there's also
Tommy the Trendsetter. And I'm Tommy the soft man.
Right. Tommy Pucks.
Yeah. Tommy the mama's boy.
Tommy the legend.
So you really never know which Tommy you're going to get, as there are so many Tommies.
I don't give a
888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to John in Oxford, Connecticut. He joins us. What's up, John?
Oh, Tommy, thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Listen, let me ask you something about your Big Lebowski.
Yes. Oh, my take on it was alive. Yeah, yeah. So let me set this up, John. So I was just watching a podcast recently, the Ophon's podcast. He had Jeff Bridges on, and Jeff Bridges was talking about a fan theory that Donnie, played by Steve Buscemi,
theory. That was not Jeff's theory.
No, I agree. I understand that. I said it was a fan theory, and Jeff.
Oh, okay.
But I think Jeff was sort of saying that, hey, you know what? I've heard that theory, and it does make a lot of sense. What the theory is that Donnie, the Steve Buscemi character in Big Lebowski, is not actually real.
Okay, I'll give you just really quickly before I get to my Yankees point. 2 points. Somebody got cremated at the end. Okay.
Yes.
Donnie.
Right, but they could have got ashes. Just like Walter could get a toe, you could get ashes.
Point two, when his car gets stolen and he's walking away.
He says, thanks, Donnie.
His phone is ringing.
Yep.
He says,
phone
is ringing.
Yep.
Thanks, Donnie.
Yeah.
So he does specifically refer to Donnie. So whatever.
Yeah, in that one scene, he does refer to him. But perhaps let me just kind of play a couple things out there. Maybe Jeff Bridges' character, the dude, because Walter is a little bit, you know, he's got a couple screws loose. Maybe he's got some PTSD. Yeah. Perhaps he just plays along with the fact that Donnie is real, so that Walter doesn't feel bad about it. His imaginary friend.
Okay, so in the beginning when he says "market, dude," that didn't count.
When who says it?
Oh, we're earlier in the thing.
No, but it doesn't matter what Steve Buscemi's character says. He doesn't exist.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, no, so I don't want to give it away, but I mean, there's I would give away a plot, but there's a movie called Fight Club where there are interactions.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Right. Okay. No, I got you. And I mean, it's a suspension of disbelief, and movies are movies.
Yep.
Anyway, hey, let me ask you something. Did you see The Odyssey?
I'm glad that you brought that up. No.
Oh my God, dude!
That good.
Oh,
right.
You got to see it on the IMAX.
I've been told IMAX.
Forget about the crap they're talking about, dude.
What crap are they talking
experience.
About?
Oh, the like whitewashing and all the political crap.
Oh,
don't
it's
worry
political.
About that.
Yeah, I'm not. Believe me, I'm not. So okay, if it's a great movie, which everybody says it is, I definitely want to check it out.
If you like Troy,
I do,
and
I do like Troy.
You are not so devoted to the works of Homer.
Simpson?
It might be the best movie you've ever seen in a theater.
Really?
Especially if you see it in IMAX. Oh, my
God. That's a big claim,
dude,
though.
There are sounds in this movie that will chill you for the rest of your life.
Huh.
Forget about the visuals. The sounds. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. And I'll tell you something. I'm not one of those guys who love these type of movies. I could have cared less for The Lord of the Rings. Didn't really give much for Harry Potter.
Okay.
My daughter took me to this movie, and I was riveted, riveted. And I knew the story. I had to deal with it in high school like every other kid.
Yeah.
Riveted. Fantastic. Great movie. I would totally recommend it. Don't not see it. On my Yankees-Mets point, does everything the Yankees need sitting across town?
Yes.
It is,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's nuts. Even right Tyrone Taylor, the way he is right now.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
He's just what they want.
The Yankees and Mets could make several trades if they wanted to. The problem is the Yankees and Mets usually don't make trades. I mean, a couple of instances, but that's the issue there, John. But, yeah, there's so many players that make sense for the Yankees that are on the Mets. So many.
Let's go!
Yankees. I mean, you can go down the line. We all know who we're talking about. But, yeah, as far as the Odyssey, and I brought this up on a couple other shows, but obviously different audience, you know, 7 to midnight. Some you guys aren't up late necessarily. I've only been to the movies twice in the last 7 years. 7 years. I saw The Rise of Skywalker in 2019, which was the third installment of the Disney Star Wars movies, the 9th installment, and the final installment of the Skywalker saga Star Wars movies, and I'm a massive Star Wars fan. The movie was okay, but the saga, the 9 movies as a totality, are obviously legendary. And then I saw The Iron Claw with Zac Efron, which is about the Von Erich family. It's a famous wrestling family in Texas, ton of family tragedy, and it was a very good movie. But I'm also a wrestling geek, so that one made sense.
That's the force be with you, right?
Yes. The 2 movies I went to go see are those in the last 7 years. I have not been otherwise. And a part of that is because my wife doesn't like going to the movies. Another part of that is, as I've gotten older, because I used to love going to the movies, loved going to the movies as a kid, as a teenager, in my 20s, even not so much necessarily early 30s, because now I've met my wife and she, How I Met Your Mother. Well, I didn't meet her in a movie theater because she hates going to the movies. But as I've gotten older, I'm more annoyed by people and just going to the theater and having to sit there. Like, this isn't 1998 where the only way I would see a movie trailer is by going to the movies. Now with the introduction of YouTube and just the internet, I can see every single movie trailer before I go to the movies. So I don't see the need, nor do I want to sit there before the movie and watch 40 minutes of trailers. And then it's followed by Nicole Kidman telling me to silence my cell phone and letting me know where all the bathrooms are and imploring me to buy popcorn, soda, and candy. It's like, listen, Nicole, look, I love you as an actress. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, hi there.
Absolutely. But Nicole, I know to silence my cell phone. I know where I can buy candy, and I know where the bathrooms are.
Star Trek, Star Wars, I can't even tell them apart. That's the force be with you, right?
So for an hour, I have to sit there before the damn thing even starts. Like I said, people kind of annoy me. I have a very, you know the movie, what's the heck of the movie with Mel Gibson's, What Women Want, where he can hear other people's thoughts? I swear to you, I am so in tune with other people. It is nuts. Like, my wife gets on me all the time. She's like, why do you let that stuff bother you? It's like, I can't help it. I can't, like, tune out other people's conversations or noises or anything like that. So when I'm around a bunch of people in a crowded movie theater, it just drives me nuts.
Tommy!
So that's just something I want to avoid. I'll just watch the movie from my couch. The third reason is I have made just a pledge to myself that I would never be that guy that goes to a matinee movie on a Saturday at noon. I'm just not going to be by myself at a movie theater on Saturday or any day. I never wanted to be that guy. That being said,
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Hype that has surrounded this movie, The Odyssey. And you're not the first person, John, our previous caller, to tell me to go see it in IMAX. Now, you just said, John, that's some take. That's a hot take. That John said that The Odyssey is the best movie you will ever experience in person at an IMAX theater. I wasn't aware of all the other stuff surrounding it, nor do I care. I'm just more interested in if the movie is good. And from what I can gather from reviews and people, what they've told me, that the movie is awesome. So perhaps The Odyssey is the movie that gets me back to the movie theater. Now, and I love Troy. Thought it was awesome. My wife will never go to this ever in a million years. So I have to, one of two things need to happen. I either have to get a new wife, which is, you know, always on the table, or I have to go by myself. I suppose I could take a friend, Connor, are you free? Would you like to go see the Odyssey with me?
I don't know. I don't really know the whole thing with the Odyssey and the Iliad and the Odyssey. I don't know. Is there two different things? Homer, I don't know who that is. I think it's about like the Roman Empire or something like that, right? I don't know.
So I'm going to put you down for no.
Maybe.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe. I do love Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, Nolan
But he's
is...
gotten a little too highfalutin with some of these movies.
A little highfalutin for you.
The Dark Knight was the best one he made.
I would agree with that. But I also loved, well, okay. I do think The Dark Knight is the best Nolan movie. Inception is tremendous, and I will always champion and say that The Prestige, which is with Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman, and Scarlett Johansson is in that, by the way, also very much a, you know.
Oh, hi there.
You had me at Scarlett Johansson.
What are you like doing later?
If they did a movie where Scarlett Johansson was just on screen for 4 hours straight, I would go watch in IMAX. She's in that as well. The Prestige is a phenomenal movie. So good. That's a Christopher Nolan.
Memento was like one of his first ones. Really good.
Also,
really good.
Yeah, that was the one. I was just about to give away the plot. You know what I did the other day, Connor? I spoiled for Al Cintron something huge in Avengers Endgame.
Well, in your defense, that movie came out like 15 years ago.
Fair, but I guess in Al Cintron's defense, he hadn't seen it. He is going through all the Marvel movies in order. Obviously, Avengers Endgame is the final one, and he is rewatching them, I assume, on like Disney Plus or something like that. And I don't know which movie he's up to, but he was not up to Avengers Endgame. And I hate giving spoilers out on the air. Even if the movie came out 50 years ago, I'm always hesitant to do that.
You gotta always say spoiler alert first.
Yeah, but then you get people to tune out, and that's the last thing you want to do as a radio host, especially during contract season, Connor. You know what I mean? Your bonus really depends on my contract coming up here, which is, you know, I gotta make sure we have a lot of listeners. The only time I will spoil something is if I have a very strong take on it. So, for example, Titanic, which, let me just say this. Now, you could say Endgame is in the same category as this. If you haven't seen Titanic at this point, I don't know what to tell you. The entire universe has seen that movie 16 times, so shame on you if you haven't seen it. My strong take on Titanic, two of them. One is, at the end of the movie, Rose, she's not dead. She's not dead. She's dreaming. And the reason I say that is, well, she better not be dead, because if this woman, after being married all these years, she dies, and the first person she sees, meet me at the clock, make it count, is some dude she had a fling with on a cruise ship
70 years ago.
You had a little fun time acting like a floozy? And then you're married to this guy, you have kids, you have a great family with him, and the minute you croak, you're with Jack, not your husband? Where's that poor schmuck? By the way, Connor, play that more. Bang, stop playing it. Every night in my dreams, I see you, I hear you. That's the song, right? That's the hit song that came out from Titanic. It says, every night in my dreams, I see you. She's dreaming. She's not dead. She's dreaming. That's my sort of hot take about the ending of that movie. My other strong take on this, going back to Rose, is how in the world did you not make room for Leo, for Jack, on the damn door? Move over, honey! The guy is freezing to death! It's a huge door! Scoot over. The water is literally freezing. You have an opportunity to save. Now, albeit you guys have had a fling here on a cruise ship, but which it happens to the best of us. But you're there on the door. He put you up there. Let him sit next to you on the door.
No biggie.
Certainly was a biggie for Jack. And then, like I said, you marry this guy, you have this family, you have all these kids, this great life.
She also says, I'll never let you go, Jack, and then immediately lets him go and lets him go right to the bottom of the ocean.
Immediately let him go.
Yeah.
Immediately. Yeah, immediately. Thank you. Immediately. So, when it comes to stuff like that, I will spoil the movie. Spoiler alert. I guess I should have said that in the beginning. I said it at the end. I probably should have said it at the beginning.
No, biggie.
But, yeah, I think she's dreaming at the end, and move over! Let Jack get on the damn door with you.
she also drops the heart of the ocean into the ocean, which is like a $300 million necklace, which she could have maybe given to her kids.
Or just pawned it off.
Yeah.
She could have went to a bodega around here. Yeah. Well, how do you know?
Hates her husband, hates her kids, everything.
Yeah. Right. At the end of the movie, she just throws that back down into the bottom of the ocean. You don't leave that for any of your grandchildren? Honestly. But that's where I will spoil movies. But where was I with all this? Oh, yeah. So perhaps I will go
Luke
to,
evening.
So I have nobody to go see The Odyssey with, but perhaps I'll just go by myself. But, you know, come on. You know, we know this. If there was, let's play a game together, and we'll all go back to the phones here in a second. And it is after hours, I think. Is that what we're calling it? Yeah, we call it after hours here.
Luke evening.
And hopefully everybody is having a pleasant Luke evening. Let's play a game here. Out of all the WFAN personalities and hosts, which is most likeliest to be at a movie theater by themselves at noon on a Saturday? Okay. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Which host, all the personalities here, even past personalities, all the WFAN alumni, out of everybody you could think that ever hosted here as a personality, which host is most likeliest to be at a movie all by themselves at noon on a Saturday?
I'm a loser.
Right. 888-808-1019 is the...
I just whipped the book out.
Phone number to call. Ozzy is in Woodridge. Ozzy?
Connor, it is so great to have you back, my man.
Connor, Ozzy missed you. I missed you. The audience missed you because you are a comedic genius back there with the drops. I think we could all agree on that.
No biggie.
Connor, his shows were unfunny, boring.
Well, hold on a second. Nobody asked you for a review. No, I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't say that. I would say they were lacking a little bit without Connor here, but I still think that my presence alone and the way I could carry a show, Ozzy, is still magical, and they were very, very funny, but Connor does add a lot of humor to the show.
Connor, especially the five-hour, quote-unquote, Big Lugowskis, these little three-hour ones, we should call them Tommy Time because it always comes up short. More ways than one, you know what I mean?
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, a little Jiffy Lube, if you will, to bring up a thing from the past. Hey, Connor, Tommy is dead to me, man.
Why is that?
Dead to me, Connor.
Why are you guys having a conversation like I'm not here? I'm like the old man you're about to put in a home. Why? What am I? What are we going to do with Pops? What am I, just sitting here in the corner like I'm drooling all over myself? You guys are just having a sidebar conversation?
Connor, I only called for a couple reasons. All right? I called because the lovely Mrs. Lou Gower is out there listening, and I miss her.
Well,
I want to say hello to her.
Well, easy. Tiger, what Ozzy's referring to is my mom, her favorite caller to the show is Ozzy.
Hi, Mary.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, she says hi back. Well, let's skip through the pleasantries. Are you just not talking to me? Is that what's going on here, Ozzy? I'm picking up
Connor
on something.
Connor, word of warning, my friend. Keep your friends close and the quote-unquote talent closer. He was counting your vacation days. He was wondering where you were.
I thought he got fired, quite frankly.
He did the same thing to Paulie, but that's neither here nor there. But Connor, dude, Foxhole Tommy was throwing you under the bus, left, right, up and down.
Well, that's just completely inaccurate. No, Connor, don't buy into what Ozzy's telling. That's Ozzy's version of the truth, which is also always a distorted version of it. I never threw you under the bus. I just question out loud why you, as the producer of this show, were not producing this show and producing other shows. That's all.
Connor, he was playing up his little buddy, Nick
Papagiorgio. Yes, great Nick Papagiorgio.
They were Joe B and me and doing little skits, try and say how, like, I had called off air and they just Joe B'd the whole conversation.
Well, we did not Joe B the conversation. I didn't read text messages. But I did what Ozzy is referring to is about a week or so ago is you and I spoke off air, and then I thought that was going to be the conversation. This is the meal, Banya. I thought we were done, and I had serviced, you know, sort of you for the night. And then you were on my board here.
You did what to me for the night?
Well, in a sports, in a friend, whatever you want to call it. What do you know what I mean? I figured that I paid my debt to you for that night or week, Ozzy. And then here we are, you're on my board, and Papa Giorgio goes to me and says, you can go to Ozzy. I go to Ozzy. I just talked to him off air. Apparently, you wanted a double dip of Tommy, and I was unaware of that. That's all. That's what we did there. If you call that a Joe B, that we aired dirty laundry on the air, then fine. But I just thought we had a conversation off air, and that was our conversation for the night.
And then on Thursday, you and your little Nicky Pop, your little buddy,
yeah,
your little friend, your little pal,
okay,
your buddy with Connor Who during those times, you had me calling up for like 4 hours straight. You wouldn't pick up the phone.
Well, what does that have to do with hold on a second, Ozzy. That you and you know this. That has nothing to do with me.
Oh, come on.
What do you mean, oh come on? Well, I'm not sitting there by the phone.
Yeah, but he's saying Ozzy's calling. Should I pick up the
call? No, he's not. Your objection, you're conjecturing or projecting or whatever. No. I think Nick Papa, listen, I would say this. How do I want to? No, because you're putting me in a position here, Ozzy. I see what you're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
You are trying to get me to be a bad teammate and throw other teammates under the bus. I'm not going to do that. What I would say is, Ozzy, is Nick Papa Giorgio, along with Connor, along with every other producer here not named Paul and Rosenberg, they're very busy back there. They got a lot going on. I demand a lot of things. There's tape they have to cut up. There are nights, Ozzy, where you or other callers call a bunch, and unfortunately they just can't get to you at a time that is, you know, quick and sufficient.
It was a three-hour tour of not being able to get to me, just like this little Tommy time. You guys came up short a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
So, no, I don't know what you're saying, Ozzy. No, I don't know
I'm going to call in. Okay. I'm going to talk to Paulie.
Do not do that.
I'm going to call in. I'm going to talk to Connor.
Do not do that.
Now, whether you can handle that is up to you.
Well, I can handle it, but it's just incredibly awkward, Ozzy, for you to call this show, my show, and have a conversation with everybody but me. Don't you find that to be a little bit unorthodox and a little bit awkward?
Well, your tactics.
I don't have tactics. No, I don't have underhanded tactics. And what is this, a covert counterstrike? What are you talking about?
Your tactics were underhanded and overt, and mine are now going to be overtly cutting out the useless middleman.
I think
which
that
is
that,
you.
No, that's not me, but okay.
And talking directly to my guy Paulie and my guy Connor. That's another one of my claws. Let's call that my third clause.
Well, you have so many clauses. What do you got? You got a Santa Claus. That's how many clauses you have. You have about 16 of them.
Pretty much. I got Warren lowercase g putting me in the mouth. Special Ed and Mohegan. Now this other kid putting me in his mouth.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on a second, Ozzy. Well, but sometimes, this other kid. Sometimes, Ozzy, and you know I love you and you know I defend you, but you are an acquired taste, much like me. There are times where you start it. And I think in the instance where you, and
never.
This was through one, yeah, well, hold on a second. You have a great source, your best source, who is a,
Captain
I suppose.
Captain Norway. I forgot about Captain Norway. Go ahead.
Yeah, you called this station a couple weeks ago, Ozzy, and through a source, you said that the Norwegian fans, the great Norwegian fans that were here at the World Cup during intermission or during a hydration break, they'd be going to the bathroom stalls and they'd be making whoopee. They'd be having sexual relations there. And meanwhile, that got tipped off to the Norwegians, and now they're pissed, and now they want a piece of me.
After Holland goals, they were basically sitting on each other's lap and doing it right there,
enough!
Right now in the stands.
You're doing it again.
What?
You know, I got to look over both shoulders here. I'm going to have half of Norway come. These Vikings are going to be all over me now. So, Ozzy, so this is part of where you put me in the firing line. The things that you say, and you just kind of hang up and go in back into your Ozzy life, and then I got to sit here in after hours and deal with all this stuff. Now, I will say this about you, Ozzy. There have been callers that have taken shots at you that I think are uncalled for, and I always defend you when they do that. Now, you just took a couple of shots and said some nasty things about some people. I don't condone that either. So I don't want caller-on-caller crime. We could have fun, but this idea that everybody is fighting each other, and you, Ozzy, seem to be in the middle of all of it, is something that I would like to be curtailed, if possible.
Well, the Norwegians, I bet it was surreal for them to do what they were doing. Just like the little surreal menage you were having in your mind watching OBJ and Neighbors out there at practice today. It was surreal for you.
It was.
Wasn't it, Tommy?
Yes, I don't like where you're going with all this, Ozzy, and I don't appreciate your tone, quite frankly. It was. It was surreal slash awesome to see both of those guys. Excuse me?
Did you have a moment where you master of your domain?
No, not every day. No, I don't appreciate the tone of this conversation. You started off with, as usual, Ozzy, allegations towards After Hours and myself that are completely unfounded. You are going after some of my guys behind the glass, like a Nick Papagiorgio, and really just
one guy.
Well, your attack on After Hours continues, so to speak, and you're trying to curry favor now with Connor and with Rosenberg.
Look, Connor and Rosenberg, I just had to give them a heads up what was going on when they weren't around. Counting their days and throwing them under the bus. Where are they?
Yeah, I want them here. Would Boomer not want Al there? Would Craig not want Hoffman? So they get their producers, I don't? Is that the way it works?
Pretty much.
What do you mean, pretty much?
Tommy time. Tommy time. How much important is Tommy time, really?
Well,
yeah,
I would like to think it's very
important.
It
should always be 3 hours. Heck, it should be 2 hours.
How would you relax over there? What are you, program director now, Ozzy? You're siding with the internet?
I'm just saying, 3 hours is kind of enough. When you talk about, like, that guy had you yesterday when he was talking about Aaron Boone does what he needs to do, Howdy Booney, behind closed doors. He doesn't need to do it out in the open. So you lay off Howdy Booney's back, all right? He's doing just fine right now.
Oh, because now I know you're really... You lay off the meds, Ozzy, because now you're defending Aaron Boone? Come on. I apologize for Ozzy, but I love him, and the reason I defend Ozzy, number one, he's a very loyal listener, good
it's
dude.
It's a sickness.
I've met him in person, but he, in many ways, is like me, an acquired taste. You know, at
Tommy
first,
the legend.
Thank you. At first glance or at first listen to Ozzy, you're like, what is wrong with this guy? And usually it takes about 150 of Ozzy calls and hopefully not 150 of my shows for you to turn where you like me. But I think for the first time people hear me, they go, what in God's is happening on this show? And quite frankly, I have no idea. I can't really answer that question. But what I would tell you is that just stick around and you'll laugh. Hopefully you won't cry and we'll have a great time. Tommy Thirststraps. My thirst is never quenched. Yeah, it's really an uphill battle there. I have to stop following Sydney Sweeney on Instagram.
Hey, gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ella Langley. I got to stop following her on Instagram. It's becoming a...
Oh, hi there.
The microscope that you hit on Instagram, too, is also a major problem for me. It just becomes a situation where, like I tell Tiki all the time, there are rabbit holes that you just can't get out of. I actually hit it right now, and I'm looking at this, and Margot Robbie, and yeah, no, it's a problem.
Oh, hi there.
It's big time. It's problematic for not only this radio show, but for my life, quite frankly. 888-808-1019. But yes, Ozzy, you can go to bed tonight, putting the head on the pillow, and knowing that nothing nefarious is going on, the producers are not ignoring your phone calls. In all likelihood, they were busy, they had a bunch going on, and they did not see your phone call. But I would think, and Connor, you would agree to this, that Ozzy ultimately gets on the air once or twice a week.
And he gets a lot of time on the air, too.
I give him plenty
of time. You give him a league of 5 minutes, he gets a lot of air time.
I try not to interrupt him, either. But Ozzy is also good at point, I point, he points, I point, you know. My one thing is I like more conversational. That's why sometimes I'll like try to butt in to make it more of a conversation if I feel like somebody's going on a little bit of a soliloquy. But listen, we're on Sports Talk Radio first dates here. Even if you've called me a million times, it's you're talking over me, I'm talking over you. It just that happens. By the way, can we stop with the Country Roads song? How overplayed is this song enough? The Giants are playing it. It's like, we get it. I can't with this song anymore.
Tommy the Complainer.
Well, I have to complain in this spot because to me, that one and the John Bon Jovi song, you know, Tommy used to work on the docks, and you would think I'd be biased to it because my name is in the song. I can't hear Living on the Prayer anymore. I just can't. Enough. It's overplayed. It's so overplayed. And now Take Me Home, Country Roads is at that point. It's so overplayed. I know they're in West Virginia. And I know there aren't a lot of songs probably about West Virginia, but it's kind of, that was kind of like the BB route. You know, that was a little basic going with the take me home.
Didn't like it in the World Cup after we had our big wins?
No, not really. No. I like the songs that they were singing before every match. There was like one song they kept singing. And I love the singing. Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge music guy. But I just feel like there's so many songs you can go to. And there seems to be, like, anytime you go to a club, a bar, you're going to hear, if you got $100 bills, put your hands up. How many times I got to hear the song? Have we not played it enough at this point? Tommy used to work on the dock. Yeah, okay, got it, John. All right. And by the way, you're a Patriot fan. I love how we glorify that. I mean, is he even really a New York, New Jersey guy anymore, this Bon Jovi? He's a Patriot fan.
Seems very fraudulent.
Big time! Enough! As far as I'm concerned, he's a New Englander at this point, this Bon Jovi. Do we still have the rest stop that's named after him on the Jersey Turnpike? I think we do. That's where you can get Roy Rogers from. Where was I with all this? Oh, coming up in the final hour, we'll talk more about the Giants. We'll talk more about the Yankees. We'll take your calls as we're trying to figure out a name for a three-hour after hours. The Big Lugowski. And we will continue to monitor if there are any trades, as the trade deadline is Monday for baseball, August 3rd. 888-808-1019. It is after hours. Tommy Lugauer, Positive Tommy, here in primetime.
I only have one question. Where is
Loogie?
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.